I won't re-preach that. I could, ought to be, I guess. But in Judges chapter 14, the devil don't want you to know what I'm going to give you tonight. And it's simple. It's a very simple truth. But he'll read right over and look right over it if you're not careful. And if we could get it in our heart, the truth that we're going to share, the little simple truth we'll share with you tonight, I believe it'll sure help us to have victory in days to come. We're not going to read all of it, but in Judges chapter 14, I want to look at verse number 5. Samson, of course, is the great hero and God-appointed man to deliver Israel from the Philistine bondage and harassment. In verse 5, it said, "Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him." Note that verse. Verse number 6. "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside," note this, "he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." And look on down, if you will, into verse number 12. "Samson said unto them," that is, when he had come down to the camp there, and he was going to present them with a riddle. "He said unto them," verse 12, "I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it." And here's the riddle, verse 14. "And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat." Note that statement. "Out of the eater came forth meat. And out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not, in 3 days, expound the riddle." I want to go to the Lord in just a moment of prayer, and then we'll look at this passage of Scripture. Our Father, we thank You for what You have done, and thank You, Lord, for the sweet family of God that You put us in. And Lord, particularly, thank You for the good, sweet, precious family of God that You've put us with right here, this local assembly, right here at Rogersville Baptist Temple, and we thank You for that. Lord, how that we love this people, and this people loves me, and we together love You, and You love us, and we thank You for where You brought us from, and Lord, what You're doing yet in our church, and we're grateful. Lord, we don't want to be discouraged, distracted, or don't want to be depressed or defeated. We want to be excited and have the enthusiasm, Lord, about You and Your work. And Lord, we pray now that You'll take us and speak through us, Lord. Help us to say something tonight that would be a help and a blessing, Lord, to this people. And Lord, what You do, we'll thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. The young lion roared out in verse 5 against Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came on Samson in verse 6 and enabled him to defeat the lion. And then on down into verse number 8, he turned aside after a certain time, and there was honey in the lion. there was a swarm of bees, God turned the lion into a beehive, if you will. And Samson, verse number 14, was presenting the enemy with a riddle because he figured they'll never guess this. They'll not even in 7 days, with all of their guessing and wisdom and all of their minds working together, they'll never guess this. And so I want to deal with that principle that he reveals here, and I want to tell you the devil don't want us to know it. The devil says they'll never get it. They'll never know what this truth is. And here it is. He said in verse number 14, out of the eater came forth meat. I want to preach tonight on when the eater becomes the feeder. What was sent originally to eat Samson and to devour Samson turned in return turned out to feed Samson. And you know, a lot of times things comes in our life and we think, this is sent to devour me. This was sent to devour me, but out of what would be the devourer came his diet. What come out of the negative was a positive. What came out of the bad was good. What came out of death was life. What came out of what was looked to be a bitter experience with the lion turned out to be a sweet experience with the honey. Amen. And I'm glad that God put that principle in the Word of God. There's going to be times in your life and mine that there's going to be circumstances and there's going to be situations that we're faced with. But if we're not careful, we'll look at it as a roaring lion that's going to be my death, or it's going to be to my devouring, and it's going to take over, it's going to be my defeat. But thank God, through the Holy Spirit, God can turn it around. Amen. I thought about Joseph's illustration in the book of Genesis. I thought about how that when his brethren, you know, had sold him out and lied on him and everything and betrayed him and all of that, and finally at the end how they were brought to Egypt and Joseph revealed himself to them, and of course they were filled with grief how they treated him. And he said, in essence, he said to them, you may have meant it for evil, a lion to devour me. But he said, God meant it for good. Amen. Right. Amen. You worked against me, but it was really God working for me. Well, if we're not careful, we'll look at our afflictions as, this is against me. But God is the one that's in charge and in control, and He certainly is able to work it for me. Work it out for my good and your good and for God's glory. And He said, it was God that sent me ahead of you. You thought you was selling me out. You thought you was putting me in a pit. You thought Potiphar was putting me in a prison. But He said the whole time there was a divine hand of providence at work, sending me ahead of you to preserve life. I believe God's trying to tell us that when the negative comes, don't fall all to pieces. When the storms come, don't fall apart. When the problems come, don't fall apart. It might look like a lion, it may sound like a lion, but it might be God's beehive to furnish some honey for your soul. Out of the eater came forth meat. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that just blesses my heart. When the eater becomes the feeder. And see, can't you see here how the devil don't want us to know that? The devil wants you to think, oh no, a lion, run for your life. But God said, oh no, a lion, wait a little while, let me do my work, amen. And I'll feed you some honey out of it. Right. It might be, in fact, he even said in his riddle, out of the strong came forth sweetness. See? out of those things in your life that seems to be acting as a stronghold. Those things in your life that the devil is trying to say, this is too strong for you. This is too big for you. This is going to be your downfall. God said, out of that strong places, out of that strong, come forth sweetness.
Amen.
All of us will never be the Christian that God wants us to be apart from storms, valleys, negative things that comes in our way. Amen. I mean, there's no way that we can have the stamina and the endurance about us without a little oppression and a little obstacles and difficulty that we have to face. I thought about Paul and the storm that we talked about this morning. How that Paul was in that storm in Acts chapter 27, and it looked to be a lion that was going to roar out against him and going to be his death and his downfall. But he went and prayed, and he got a word from God. And God said, hey, Paul, this is not a lion that's going to eat you. This is a lion that's going to feed you. Hallelujah. And God said that he turned that storm into a sweet experience for Paul. And there's illustrations all through the Bible about that. I mean, David, for example, when the lion and the bear that came against him and came against his flock as him being the shepherd, how that he killed the bear and how he killed the lion. I want to tell you, friend, that seemed to be a dreaded thing, but it turned out to be a delightful thing because it built up his faith. So when he faced Goliath, he said, you're going to be just like the lion and the bear. If there never had been a lion and a bear, he wouldn't have been able to say to Goliath, I can take you down. It ain't how big I am. It's not how strong I am. It's not my abilities. It's not my biceps. My brother, the same God that enabled me to take care of the bear and take care of the lion is the same God that will help me take care of you. Amen. That's right. Lord, help us tonight. Amen. I mean, there's examples after examples. A lot of the hymns in this hymn book tonight. A lot of the hymn books in this hymn book tonight that blesses us came out of somebody's bitter experience. Somebody had a line of a circumstance to roar out against them. And my friend, instead of it eating them, my friend, God through them arranged it to where they could eat from it, and they wrote a song about it. Amen. That's true, isn't it? Boy, there's just all kinds of examples about this. And boy, there's a lot of things that will roar out against you in these days that will try to act as though... And in fact, we'll deal with this a little bit later on, but the lion roared out against him. And that lion was an enemy. That lion was something that was against him. And it roared out against him. And I just want to go out and say this now. And that is, the devil don't mind to let you know he's against you. He's roaring out. He's trying to intimidate you. He's trying to get us in the mentality, Brother James. Oh, it's a lion. We can't handle a lion. Let's run for our life. Amen. Well, let's deal with some things here tonight. We could say some other things, but let's go on. And first of all, I want to deal with some things about this situation. First of all, note, if you will, the place of the lion. We have verse number 5. The place of the lion. The Bible says that it was in the vineyards of Timnath that this lion roared out against Samson. Now, we know what vineyards is. It's a place of vines. Well, that's brilliant, ain't it? His place where vines grow. It was no doubt a grape vineyard, probably. No doubt. And that's a place of fruitfulness. That's a place where fruit grows. And I want to tell you, if there's ever going to be a time that the enemy's going to roar out against us, it's going to be when we start bearing fruit for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? A place of fruit. A place of joy. That's what they made wine out of. Amen. And wine in the Bible is a type of joy. If the devil's ever going to roar out against you, it'll not just be in a place of fruitfulness, but it'll be in a place of joy. The devil don't mind if you're saved. He of course don't want you to get saved, but after you get saved, he can't do nothing about that. So he don't want you to enjoy it. He don't want you to have any joy. He don't want you to have any victory. The devil will roar out if you start getting any joy about you. Right. Amen. Amen. Oh, the lions are not roaring out just against anybody. They're roaring out against the Samsons. The ones that God is raising up to bring defeat to the enemy. Amen. Those that's interested in giving deliverance, and those that's interested in serving God, those that God's raising up. Now, I just want to let y'all know tonight that God is still in the business of raising up, brother, people for His glory. The devil has tried, and he may yet try again to completely snuff out the church, but he'll never succeed. God will not leave Himself without a witness, the Scripture says. God will always have a remnant, my friend, that'll serve Him and live for Him. Do you remember when Elijah thought he was the only one left? He said, Lord, I'm the only one left, and they're seeking my life. And God said, hey, big boy, I just want you to know, I've got 7,000 down yonder that's never bowed their knee to Baal. Amen. Sometimes up here in the hills of Rogersville, we get to thinking there ain't nobody serving God, nobody living for God. God's got people scattered all over the world, my friend, that loves Him and serves Him. Amen. That's right. And we're not afraid of the lion. But the place of the lion is in the vineyard. And then number two, I just want to mention the practice of the lion in verse number 5. Verse number 5, the Bible said, and behold, a young lion roared out against him. Now listen to this. It's not the technique of an adult lion or of a lion to roar in its attack. The technique of a lion is to sneak. We've all seen the animal shows and all of that, and showing the lions on the sneak and how they're hunkered down and crunched down, and my friend, not making a squeak and not making a sound and sneaking up on their prey. They'd never catch a prey if they just went out there and went, rah! You say, well, what was he doing? This lion really had a fear of Samson. This lion, if he really wanted Samson, he would have slipped up on him. He would have been hunkered down in the weeds. He would have been slipping around and sneaking around and coming up on his backside. My friend, to catch him off guard. But you know what he did? He slipped over there and roared out. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to intimidate Samson. He's trying to scare Samson away. But the truth of it was, the lion was scared of Samson. Amen. Hey, man. Hey, man. Boy, the Lord showed me this. I had a spell. You know, a lot of times the Bible talks about in the book of Peter that our enemies is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You know, listen, hey, you know why he's a roaring out? He's trying to make us afraid of him. But in the reality and the truth of it is, he's really afraid of us.
Amen.
He may be going around your home, rah, rah, and if you're not careful, you'll get thinking, oh, a lion's on the loose and it's attacking our home. Amen. But all it's really doing is letting you know, I'm trying to scare you. I'm trying to keep you defeated. I'm trying to keep you from a confrontation. But the truth of it is, I'm afraid of you. Amen. How many times was the devil roared out against us to scare us, when the truth of it was, he was really scared of us? Instead of us running and saying, oh no, there's a lion on the loose. It's attacking my home and my marriage. It's attacking our children. It's attacking our church. Instead of doing that, we ought to say when we hear the lion, hey, I know where he's at. Let's go get him. Amen. Say, the lion was roaring out. Well, Lord, just showing me this, Brother Shaw. The lion was roaring out, trying to scare Samson, trying to intimidate him, running back to the house. But all it did really in the spirit was help Samson to identify where he's at. Amen. Say, the devil's not really as smart as he lets on. Amen. His roaring ought to just let us know where he's at. Not so we can run in the opposite direction, so we can attack. Well, amen. I didn't mean to get on all that, but there's the place of the lion. There's the practice of the lion. He's roaring out, my friend, trying to scare us away, but instead it ought to just identify his location. Amen. Thirdly this evening, notice if you will in verse 6, the prevailing over the lion. Look at verse number 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Boy, right there is something the devil don't want you to know. Oh, he wants you to concentrate. Hey, come on now, listen to me. He wants us to concentrate on the lions that's roaring out against us. He wants us to get all in a frenzy. He wants us to bite our fingernails off to the quick. He wants us to get in a fix. Amen. Oh, there's lions roaring out. There's lions everywhere. We're in lion country. Instead of saying, hey, yeah, there's lions. But in the Spirit of God, there's victory.
Amen.
The Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. The prevailing over the lion. There's two aspects that will enable you and me to prevail over the lion. First, there's a human side. And secondly, there's a heavenly side.
Amen.
Now, don't expect the heavenly without the human. See, we want God to kill our lion. Come on. But the truth of it is, God must have a human instrument. And we know that. We forget that sometimes. God does what He does through human instruments. Is that not right? And the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Not upon the lion. The Spirit of God didn't kill the lion. The Spirit of God enabled Samson to kill the lion. Amen. The devil don't want you to concentrate on that. He wants you to focus on the lines. And you can tell pretty much when people come to church on Sunday morning if they're focusing on the lines. You can pretty well tell when you watch them get out of the car or watch them sing the first song of the service. Watch them, my friend, in the Sunday school hour. You can pretty well tell if all they're thinking about is, oh, preacher, the lines are roaring against me. Hey, but what about this other part? What about this other verse? Is that not a verse? Is that not in the passage? The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Do we not have access to the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit not live within us?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah, there's lions. We don't deny that. There are lions everywhere that would roar out against us. But in the Spirit of God, we can prevail. In the Spirit of God, the human side is, there must be a standing, not fleeing. The Spirit of God would never have come on Samson for him to run. The Spirit of God would not have come upon Samson for him to run with his tail tucked between his legs like a whipped puppy and would run off over the hillside afraid. The Spirit of God comes on a man when he's standing, not fleeing. Isn't that right? Well, sometimes the easy thing to do is quit. Isn't that right? The easy thing to do is quit. The easy thing to do is quit. I said the easy thing to do is to quit. The natural thing, seemingly, is the thing to do is just quit. Pressure gets on. The troubles gets on. Best thing I can do is leave. Best thing I can do is quit. Best thing I can do is not pray and read. Go to church. Best thing I can do is quit tithing. Best thing I can do is do all that. Hey, that's not the answer. The Spirit of God didn't come on Samson for him to flee. The Spirit of God come on Samson for him to stand. Amen. Lord, just grow roots. Huh? We'll just grow roots, thank God. Just clean us out of place. Amen. And start along with Miss Stapleton. Start singing, I shall not be moved.
Amen.
That's right. Brother, if anybody's ever done anything for God, it's people, my friend, that stuck in, got in God's will, knew it was God's will, growed roots to the ground, amen, and said, thank God, I'm just going to stay right here and do something for the glory of God.
Amen.
Well, I felt a witness on that. Brother, I'm going to tell you, you may go and find the building of a church different, a different structure, different colors. Now, I'm going to tell you, people are people. It don't matter if they're in Tennessee or Timbuktu. Amen. People are people. Problems are problems. The same lines that roars out against us is roaring out against others.
Right.
Everything glitters, not gold, friend. Amen. I'm not going to, but I could. I could name some churches that probably some of y'all think is just tearing the woods down for the glory of God. But the truth of it is, and I know it for a fact, son, the devil's put up tents inside the church. I'm camping out, brother. Hey, every church that looks like it's tearing the woods down, burning the woods down, and growing and blossoming and blooming, friend, that ain't just don't not all that meets the eyes of truth.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes I even got to thinking, maybe, well, look over yonder. They're tearing the woods down. Look over there. They're burning the woods down. Man, look over here. They're on fire. Huh? Y'all heard me talk about Walters Grove, Brother Jeremy Simpson's church. And I still believe it's probably out of any church I know, it's booming as much as anyone I know. And I told him that the other night, and you know what he told me? He said, preacher, you don't go to church here. He said, you're not here every Sunday. Isn't that right? Hey, I've come to the conclusion, friend, if you're trying to do something for God, there's going to be lines roar out against you. Amen. And they're all common. Lines are lines. And people are people. You know how I got on that? But the Spirit of the Lord's where our help's at. Amen. The devil don't want you to know that. The worst thing the devil don't want you to do is to be spiritual. He wants you to try to handle the fight in the flesh. And that led me to my second one. I'll go ahead and mention it and then I'll preach it out. The prevailing over the line is not only a human side of standing, not fleeing, but there's a heavenly side, spirit, not flesh. He said there in verse number 6, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. He didn't do it with the flesh. Some people's got, Brother James, in mind that Samson, you know, kind of looked like me, all muscled up. I don't believe that. I believe he was like me. I believe he's an old puny-looking something. Because if he had had muscles on top of muscles, I mean, his muscles had muscles. Amen? I believe if he walked around, you know, and he had his arms out like this, because his muscles are so big, he couldn't even turn his head because his head went down like this to his shoulders, and his legs was this big around because it's all muscled up, and he had to walk like this right here. Why, everybody wouldn't have guessed. Well, I wonder where his power's at.
Right, yeah.
What's a big, I wonder where Samson's getting all this strength. Hey, Delilah, find out for us. I believe he was just a natural-looking human being that was enabled of God's Holy Ghost with supernatural power to defeat whatever he come up against.
Amen.
His power, my friend, was not in his muscles. His power was in his master. Amen. The Spirit of God. Listen, hey, I want to tell you here tonight, I want us to know this. Brother, our victory tonight is not in the fleshly weapons of our warfare.
Right.
But in the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, you just don't know the line or lines that's roaring out against me. No competition for the Spirit of God.
Right.
The Holy Ghost of God, my friend, will anoint you and enable you to have victory over your line if you'll stand and not flee. When Samson heard that line roar out against him, he didn't run. He just identified his location. And I could just hear that line when Samson started walking toward him, said, uh-oh. And I've got in my mind, listen, I've got in my mind right here that this young lion pretty much lived in that area. Probably that was his turf, and he's probably roared out against a bunch of other people that had run. That's true. He's probably roared out against a lot of others that had come down that path that scared them back to the house and never would go back through there no more because they said, oh, I'm not going down through there. There's a lion down there. But all of a sudden, here comes Rambo down the road. And the Spirit of God, he roars out, ah! Instead of Samson breaking out in fear chills, where's he at? Bless God, where's he at? Start rolling up his sleeve, amen. And I could see that line. Uh-oh. This one's a little different than the rest of them. Everybody else is run scared, amen. That's everybody else has went and gone somewhere else. But this one's different. This one looks like he's... This one here looks like he's mad. This one here looks like he's equipped. This one here looks like he knows what he's doing. He knows where I am. He's coming after me. And oh no, it looks like he's anointed of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. The Spirit of God come on him. Boy, that's why the devil don't want you to get right with God, is because if you're right with God, the Holy Spirit of God will enable you, my friend, to handle any opposition and obstacles that comes in your way. Have you ever seen so much defeat in your life? I mean, you go to churches, and I'm telling you, it's unbelievable how much defeat is in the house of God. And we wonder why we're not winning people to Jesus. They don't want what we've got if what we've got's given us defeat. They're having enough problems as it is. Why would they want to get out of the frying pan and get in the fire? Isn't that right? Oh, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Oh, how many times has lions roared out against me? Lions has roared out against you of circumstances, of situations, of bad news, of fear, of defeat, of depression, or whatever it might be. And brother, the Holy Ghost of God in prayer or the Word of God, my friend, the Spirit of God come on you. And brother, you just walk triumphantly over that situation. The place of the lion, the practice of the lion, the prevailing of the lion. What about you? It's helping me. We want the eater. We want those things in our life that comes and looks like they've been sent to eat us. We want to turn them around and let them feed us. It's only possible through the Spirit of God. Hey, I want to tell you, the eater will never turn in to be a feeder until it's dead.
Amen.
Lord just showed me that. The eater would not ever turn to be the feeder until it was dead.
Right.
You know why most of our eaters is still eating on us? And you can tell when people come in church, amen, look like they've about half of them gone, amen. The circumstances is eating them alive.
Right.
How many's right chickens in your life? Did you know what a chicken will do? A chicken will sit on the roost and let a stinking possum eat his insides out, and he'll sit right there and just take it. Under God, I believe they're Baptist chickens. How many's ever seen them? I've seen them. Brother James, I have seen chickens still alive, and half their whole back end was gone out of them. And I said, what in the world done that? And they said, a possum got in the hen house. And my friend just slipped up on the roost and ate them alive. Well, a lot of people come to church is that very way. They're still breathing. They're still alive. The half of them's gone because the circumstances eating them up. Amen. I'm just wanting to tell you here tonight, amen. I hope we're hearing this. Brother, the eater will not be a feeder until it's dead. Why do you think the Spirit of God, come on, Samson, so he can shout? Boy, I can't get off this right here. Lord, give me some stuff. Amen. You think the Spirit of God come on Samson so he could stand over there in the corner and go, "Woo, glory, hallelujah"? No, the Spirit of God come on Samson so he could whip what was whipping him, was the threat to whipping him. Spirit of God's not going to come on you just to give you a goosebump and a chill so you can sit on a pew and raise your hand and go, "Glory to God, hallelujah, woo." Spirit of God comes on us, my friend, and enable us and equipping us so we can have victory over lions that roars out against us.
Amen.
In our life. Are we getting this tonight?
Yeah.
This as simple as it can be. And I believe it'll help us tonight. He said, "Out of the eater came forth meat." You say, "Preacher, I'm starving to death." Why don't you kill some of those lions in your life and eat on them? Boy, ain't that good. Let me give you another one. On the place of the lion, the practice of the lion, the prevailing over the lion. Verse number 8, the potential of the lion. And we've already dealt with this a lot throughout the message. Potential of the lion, verse number 8. "And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion." Oh, it wasn't a lion now, it's just a carcass. I never have been whipped by a carcass. Come on. How many here has ever been whipped by a carcass? You say, "Preacher, that's stupid. Carcass don't have life. Carcass can't roar, can't bite."
Amen.
You say, "Preacher, I'm having an awful time." Why don't you kill what it is that's giving you a hard time? Well, I better not say that. Some of your wives want to kill your husband. I'm talking spiritual now. Please listen with a spiritual ear.
Amen.
I better clarify that. We might have some people come in here Wednesday night doing this number. "Preacher, I did it. I hit them with a 2x4. Amen. Like the carcass of a lion, verse number 8. You say, "Preacher, what's the potential?" The potential is that every lion that's roaring out against you is potential food. Every line that roars out against you, if you'll go against it in the Spirit of God and not the flesh, my friend, God says this can feed you and give you strength and sweetness for the journey. Amen. Every one of us, amen, I'm having a good time. I'm done out of preaching. I'm in a good time now. Every one of us ought to come in here on Sunday morning with a spiritual toothpick.
Yeah.
Man, looks like you've been eating this morning. Hey, man, what you been eating? You been down at Hardee's with a biscuit? No, I've been chewing on that lion that's been rolling out against me all this time. The Lord allowed me to kill him this week.
Amen.
Lord, let me kill him this week. Amen, preacher. He's not scaring me now. He's a feeding me. He's not keeping me awake at night. He's a-feeding me. He's not worrying me to death, preacher. He's a-feeding me. Boy, this is a word from God, I'm telling you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Huh? There's not a thing spiritual about sitting all night long, all night long, all night long. Oh, there's a lion. Kill it. Complaining about it ain't going to kill the thing. Confronting it will. Getting on your knees and saying, "God, I'm sick of this lion roaring out against me, worrying me to death. Amen. Give me strength in the Spirit of God to kill it. Amen." I believe the Holy Ghost of God will give you enablement to kill that lion and what was once a fear and a dread and something that you hated to see and hear will all of a sudden be a means of food. If I'd have preached the book of Jude tonight, I'd have missed God. Sure as a world.
Amen.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Preach. So I ain't feeling nothing. Well, just leave me alone. I am. Amen. I've killed a few lions along the way. Amen? Oh, yes, brother. And I want to tell you what. When you've killed a few lions, it'll help you to tell others. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it.
Yes.
Man. Amen. Boy, when that lion roars out against you, instead of saying, "Lion, That's a line. Instead of saying, oh Lord, that's a line. Oh, did you hear that, honey? Oh, there's a line. Instead of saying, oh no, there's a line in the house. Oh, did you hear it, Brother Robert? It's a line. Instead of saying, oh no, it's a line. It's, hey man, glory to God. Get the fork and the spoon and the knife. Hallelujah. It's supper. It's supper time. Amen. Oh, I'm having a time tonight. Instead of getting your hanky out, my friend, and blowing your nose and wiping your tears all night long, there's a line on the loose. Amen. Use it as a napkin. Glory to God. Amen, honey. I don't want to get old line juice all over me. You say, you're crazy, preacher. Well, leave me alone. I'm trying to help you out to get victory.
Amen.
There ain't a thing spiritual coming in here with a face that long. There ain't a thing spiritual, my friend, about that. Nothing. There's not one speck of spirituality about claiming to be saved and you don't even hardly have enough victory to get out of bed. You tell me that's victory. No, brother! Tell the blessed lie.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Good for you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. You know, just like certain animals, when they get a taste of blood, you know, just like that, here's true with us. When you kill that first lion, where's that? I mean, you don't go in the lion hunting business, but if one ever roars out against you while you're doing the will of God, while you're trying to do something for God, where are you at? I dare you. Roar out one more time. I know there's a line around here somewhere. Just roar out one more time. We'll identify your hind and we're coming after you, big boy. Some of you coming to church tonight, you said unto God, I need some help. I need some help. I need to hear from God. I need a word from God. God's given you a word. Amen. I can't get over that, Brother Richard. The potential of the line. Every time you hear a line, hey man, you ought to say it's grocery time. Amen. Honey, get the kids around. We're gonna have sweetness out of that which is strong. We're gonna have meat out of the eater tonight.
Right.
A lot of our kids would probably walk in more victory if they'd see us parents killing the lines.
Right.
Had an individual not long ago. I had an individual not long ago was talking to me about their problems and all that kind of thing. And people's got them, friend. Everywhere you get earned, people's got problems. Financial, physical, spiritual, domestic. And just roaring out against them. Just roaring out against them. Lying, roaring out against them. Problems. Every way they turn, problems. You know what? Just talking about them is not going to get anything done. I patted them on the back. I said, you're gaining ground. You've recognized there's a line over there. Oh! Recognizing there's a line is the first step. We're foolish tonight. If a lion roars out against us, it's, oh, that's just a little pussycat. Somebody's little kitty cat's got loose. Yeah, that little kitty cat will eat you.
Right.
When there's a lion, there's potential. And I told that individual the other day, I said, I know you don't like what's going on and you don't like how it looks and you certainly don't like how it feels. But I said, you better not let it turn you. I didn't use these words, but it's applying to the message tonight. What I should have said was, you better not let it turn you into line. If we're not careful, oh Lord have mercy, God's got us out in the river now. Amen? Well, if we're not careful, what we'll do when we hear a lion roaring out against us, and my wife's sitting over here, when the Lord right lion roars out against us, if we're not careful, instead of us attacking the lion, we'll let the lion turn us into a lion, and we'll start, hi, hi, hi. And we'll start roaring at our wife, and we'll start roaring at our children, and we'll start roaring at those that love us. We'll start roaring at our church members. I know what I'm talking about, friend. My friend, I've had the lion to make me lionish. That's not an English word, but it'll work, amen, in the pulpit. You think it's going to kill the lion when the lion's over going, ah! And I'm going, ah, back at it. Acting like a lion don't kill the thing. Lord help us. The potential. I was aiming to just hit that and go on, but that was so good I just had to wallow around in that in a little bit. You kill the lion, God can put bees in it. You can't control the bees. That's my last point, by the way, the provisions of the lion. You can't kill the bees, or you can't get the bees. You think I'm going to go after a beehive? I'm allergic to bees. I should best soon have a lion. But if I'll kill the lion, through God's spiritual enablement, then I'll probably find out that after it's over with, it really wasn't an eater the whole time. It was just God's provision of a feeder. Amen. And He put food in it.
Thank you, Lord.
And put honeybees in it. Samson come by there the first time and he killed the thing. Rent it. The Bible said he rent it. You'll never kill a lion by petting on it. Huh?
Right.
You'll never kill a lion by petting on it. Rent it. I believe that just meant in old-fashioned Tennessee mountain terms, I believe he tore it to pieces.
Amen.
And you know what else? The next time he come by, there's beehive in it. And with the same hand that he had killed it with, he stuck in there and got a handful of honey. Provisions for himself. If you don't learn to feed on your own victories, you'll not be able to live long on others' victories.
Right.
I can get up here and preach till the woods catches on fire. All about my victories and how God helps me to have victory. And y'all don't know, but I really try to walk in victory in front of this church. And when I'm not in victory, you'll never know it. I've put on fake smiles many times. Be defeated in my heart. And that's not the way it ought to be. But I'm going to tell you right now, I come in here many times with the mentality and the attitude, whether anybody else in this church has got victory, I am going to have victory. And I'm going to walk in victory. And I'm going to try my best to put some spiritual salve in the service. Try it. That's right. But you'll not live. I'm telling you, my victories will help you. You know what he did? He took that same hand, ate honey, went on down the road and fed it to his mom and daddy. His mom and daddy didn't kill the lion.
Right.
But they was feeding off of his victory. I believe our children ought to be able to feed off of our victories. I believe they ought to say every once in a while, you know what? I can handle this. God can give me victory over this. I've seen mom and daddy handle this. Amen. We'll be able to hand our victories on to others. And everything I preach, I have to preach to myself. Isn't that right, Brother Dewey? Everything I preach to myself before I ever get up here. And then when I preach it again, I'm preaching to myself again. But learn to have your own victories. You can feed off of mine. I don't believe you'll be able to live off of mine. Because the way you live off of my victories is if I reach in there and get a handful and come over here and say, hey, Brother Richard, I know you're going through a hard time. Here's some honey out of my line that I kill. Here, Brother Chuck, going through a hard time. Here's some honey out of my trials. I know I've been there. I've seen it. It's dead. And I'm a feeding on it yet. I've seen God give me victories down through the almost 23 years that I've been saved. And you know what? I'm still eating out of those lines. Correction, those carcasses. I'm not even going to give it the benefit of the doubt, even think it's a lion. I want to just let it know it's a carcass. Well, every time the devil tries to get one of wiggling over in the corner, say, oh, you're just a carcass. You know what a carcass is? It's a has-been. It's a lying has-been.
Right.
It's a lion that used to be. Once you kill that lion, and the devil starts trying to resurrect it and all that, you say, hey, wait, you're dead. I killed you. You're nothing but a carcass, hear me? Nothing but a carcass. Well, I don't know where this is going. But there'll be provisions. Provisions for me, provisions for others. Out of the eater came forth meat. Things that comes in your life and roars in your life and is trying every way in the world to defeat you and pull you down. Amen. And intimidate you and all of that. You know what you need to do? You need to make sure you're right with the Holy Ghost so He can anoint you and enable you to do the job. Now, I'll tell you what I have done. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, show me something right here, Brother Johnny. Oh, yes, amen. You ready, Brother Gordon?
Yep.
The Spirit of God didn't even have to come on him for him to know there's a lion in the area.
Right.
You don't even have to be spiritual to identify a lion. But you have to have the Holy Spirit to whip the lion.
Right.
You can identify all day. You got problems and this, that, and the others roaring out against you. But somewhere along the way, you're going to have to get right with God. How many of us have ever tried to handle a lion in the flesh? It plainly said there, Brother Bill, that what was it he hadn't? What was it said there about he didn't have it in his hand? What was that verse, Brother Richard? He didn't have anything in his hand. Wasn't his flesh. It wasn't with any flesh tools or weapons. How many times have I tried, not being completely right with God, try to handle a lion? And you know what happened? It handled me. I've come in church a many a time, friend, with lion teeth prints all over me, where I tried to handle lions in the flesh. But listen, the devil don't want you to get right. The devil don't want you to get full of God. The devil don't want you to get right with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you all here tonight, and you know it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Being right with the Holy Spirit means a whole lot to me.
Amen.
I've preached before, and I felt like it was in the flesh. I'm talking about it just seemed like God wasn't nowhere in the country. But I went on ahead anyway and gave out a little speech. But buddy, I want to tell you what. I know what it's like when the Holy Ghost of God gets on me to preach. Amen. Oh, we're in lion country, preacher. So what if we're right with the Holy Spirit? We're in giant country. Who cares if you're right with the Holy Spirit? If you're not grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit, oh boy. He don't want you to be right with God. He don't want you to be right with the Holy Spirit. Because you can't handle lions. When you're not right with the Holy Spirit, the lions will handle you. And the lions of life are handling most people that's going to church today. I wish that I could have, in a way, recorded some of the phone conversations that I've had over the past few years from preachers and could play excerpts from those here in the service tonight and hear what I've heard. I've had them to tell me, I don't know how much more I can stand. I've had them to tell me, preacher, if I'd have knew all this, I would have never surrendered to preach. Of course, that would have got them in trouble with God. I've had them to tell me, oh, preacher, if I'd have knew the whole big picture, if I knew how people would treat us and treat our families and how they would disrespect and all that kind of stuff, if I'd have knew that, I'd have never stepped into the pulpit. I've had them to tell me. That song they sung the other night, thank God for the preacher. So now lions, if they're going to roar out against anybody, they're going to roar out against the preacher. I'm trying to hush. I met Brother Gary Hall the other day. I graduated with him from Tabernacle Bible College in Greenville. Now, I've not seen him in a long time. You know what he told me? And I knew it, but he knows more details than I. He said, "Preacher, Rackley," he said, "most of those that went through Bible college with us tonight and graduated with us are not even in the ministry tonight." I said, "You mean so-and-so?" He said, "Yeah, they don't even go to church." I said, "You mean, what about Brother so-and-so?" And I started naming them. I started naming them that we went to school with. He said, "No, preacher, yeah. One of them's a car salesman, one's selling insurance. Oh, and there's nothing wrong with that. That ain't what God wanted them in the pulpit." You know what happened? I don't know the details of any one of them, but I can tell you what happened from this passage. They had some lions roar out against them, and they tried to handle it in the flesh, and it got the best of them, and they couldn't handle it. Listen, friend, can I say something here tonight? All of us have got some endurance, but it's only temporary. I can take off running out here tonight, and you think between here and that door that I could run to Texas and back. But I probably couldn't run to the road up yonder, till I'd be tripping over my tongue. Everybody's got some endurance, but it's temporary. You can fight against lions for a while, but you can't outlast them. You can't outlast them. The only way you can outdo them and outlast them and whip them is through the energy that comes through the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to preach all night. Let's stand.